Exactly half past 12 o'clock on an overcast day, but sunshine is on the way, and we have the notion of sunshine and weather and existing well with it on our minds, as it is our pleasure to welcome Faith Morgan from the Arthur Morgan Institute for Community Solutions. Faith, thank you for coming.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It's funny, just before people that underwrite with this public radio station, of all things, just so happened that the Westcott House, with their solar house, happened to be, you know, up. And this is exactly the vibe that that brings you here today. So something pretty cool that's going on up in Springfield, like the sister of what you've brought to us today.
Well, it's really lovely to hear that, because this new solar house that's going in was part of the Solar Decathlon in Washington, D.C.
And good that there even is such a thing. Huzzah.
Yes, it's wonderful. And the man who designed it called us and said, you know, by the way, this is a passive house that's going to be there, and it's going to be there permanently on display. So for all the builders and owners around here who are tired of us taking tours of their houses, there's now a house they can go to.
Faith Morgan is with us today, as she is one of the two filmmakers involved in this documentary called Passive House Revolution. And it is screening for the first time in Ohio tomorrow night at the Glen Helen Building at 7 p.m. right here in Yellow Springs. And first of all, you point out that the passive house, there's a distinction. They're not all passive solar, which is a term that we might be more familiar with. If you could tell us about the distinction among passive houses.
Well, passive house is a term that was developed by the people who began this in North America, both Canada and in Illinois, and cold climates. The passive solar movement really began, you know, after the energy crisis in the 1970s. And people don't really know that it then moved into a group of people doing what they called super insulated homes. And they were sort of tweaking it and saying, oh, you know, we don't even, because there were problems with passive solar homes. When you put a lot of glass on the south side of a house and the sun comes in summer, you know, winter and summer, you end up overheating in the summertime, and then at night it cools off too fast. So there was, but people were putting a lot of mass in their homes. So there was a whole, you know, how do we do this? How do we not rely on fossil fuel so much?
And also that it sort of takes care of itself, instead of us constantly fighting a battle to keep the sun out at midday and retain the heat at night, that it becomes its own sort of self-regulating,
So the whole passive house, the term passive and passive house term is a term that they use to describe that you no longer need an active HVAC system or heating and cooling system any longer. So the expense of building a passive house goes up, and all of a sudden when you don't need that any longer because you've increased the performance of the thermal envelope, as they call it, walls and floor and ceiling and roof, then you suddenly, the cost drops because you don't have that big expense of a big heating and cooling system.
So it could be said that after initial construction, it's by far the cheaper way to live in a home, by far.
Right. So what happens is you put in more money, maybe 10% more of an outlay of money, but then you don't have to pay, your mortgage goes up a little bit, but your heating and cooling cost goes down, and it's just a wash. If you think, and then after your mortgage is paid off, it's just like tens of thousands of dollars in your pocket.
It seems like such a natural way to go. We're speaking with Faith Morgan from the Community Solutions arm of the Arthur Morgan Institute, who presents Passive House Revolution tomorrow night at the Glen Helen Building. How did you, if any listener has been through Yellow Springs, they might have noticed that there are a couple examples of these homes here. How did this capture your attention, and how did you recognize and sort of discover the communities across the country to make this documentary?
Well, this actually came to this country in about 2007, so it's really new here. But it's been going on for years in Germany. We just dropped it. We dropped the super insulated house and the whole concept of passive house. But some physicists in Germany picked it up, and they're very, as a culture, they're very concerned. They don't have as much fossil fuel. They don't have fossil fuel the way we do. So And they're just concerned. So they developed this. They have less sun than in Ohio. And so they had to develop something that didn't require the sun's rays to heat. And so to put it fairly simply, I think there are four main elements: a super insulated wall construction, airtight, so that you open your windows to let in air, but you don't have leaks to let in air. And you have to put in then a HRV, which is a heat recovery ventilator, or an energy, so you get fresh air constantly without losing the heat. It saves about 80 or 90% of the heat loss in the transfer of fresh air into the building.
Remarkable.
And yeah. Then, let's see, so you have these basic things that they learned that you had to do, and it works beautifully.
It's good to know that there are options. I was saying just before we went on that, you know, I worry. I'm a mom, and I worry. And no matter what your feelings are on oil and our current, you know, way we get energy, we're using it at a faster rate than it's being produced by the fossils and the dead flora and fauna from, yay, the millennia. So there's some change has to be made, and I'm very comforted to think that we are very much here in this area, this neck of the woods, our Miami Valley, we're in on it.
Well, you've made a very good point, and that's how we got started in this. My husband and I in 2001 learned about what's called peak oil, and so we didn't even think about climate change at that point. We were just going...
More about oil, yeah.
It's a finite resource, and it's not going to be around forever, and we're sort of skating along on what they call the peak oil plateau right now, but it's, you know, there's conflict and fighting over oil and fossil fuels, and we're getting harder and harder. We're fracking, and we're doing... longwall mining and mountaintop removal. It's just very destructive. It's getting more and more destructive to get fossil fuels. And then we learned about climate change. Or you might say I'd heard about it, but it really, with the inconvenient truth, it was just like everybody became aware and we became aware. Bob Brekka in town actually was the one that kind of shook us up about it. He was on our board.
I remember that.
And he said, this is really the big issue for all of us.
And it's like a big 1-2 punch, because we're being more destructive in getting it out. But as we get this out, it's potentially then becomes more carbon dioxide in our atmosphere. So it's this really negative loop of feedback. So it's not just that it's harder to get the oil, but the oil is having more devastating effect when we, or whatever these fossil fuels are, when we use them. The movie is called Passive House Revolution, and it's going to be screening here in Ohio for the first time tomorrow night at 7 p.m. That's at the Glen Helen Building here, just off of Corey Street in Yellow Springs. It's open to the public. Donations are accepted, but seems like all of us would take away something that we didn't know. Tell us about where you went around. Was it just in the United States to film communities that are engaging in these houses?
Well, we actually did go to Germany to one of the Passive House conferences there and filmed some of them and interviewed Germans. And we went to Ireland and filmed some there, because it's really all over Europe. There's 60,000 some Passive House retrofits and new buildings all over Europe. But we went to Indiana, Illinois, California, Oregon, Minnesota, New Mexico, and Florida. Because as I was doing the film, people would say, well, in this climate, we have used to do it. We do a fairly thick wall, a 12-inch wall, but you don't have to have such thick walls in a warm climate. But you do other things. You have to do other things. So I wanted to show the breadth of how it's used in the film, and it can be used for commercial buildings. I mean, in New York City, they do it for, you know, 6, 10, you know, for many stories. It doesn't really matter how many stories you're building. And you know, they super very high performance doors and windows. So our windows, and the best that we usually would use in this country would be an R5, but usually like an R2,
and some sort of rating for efficiency.
It's a rating for efficiency of walls and windows.
You know so much more about this than you ever expected to, don't you?
I do.
Very minute, important details.
So a Passive House window, if in the wintertime it doesn't feel cold on the inside, it's at an R9 and above.
Wow.
So Andrew Klein, who's in our film, has done his second passive house here, and it's his own. And I was in there this winter, and I just wanted to feel that because I've heard that. And sure enough, you could touch the inside of the window. It wasn't cold.
And they're double pane, surely.
Triple pane.
Triple
pane. But they're very, very to be a passive house certified window or door, it has to have what – well – I'm probably going into too many details.
Well, but it's an exacting set of criteria.
Getting rid of what they call thermal bridges through the building structure. So you don't. So if you have a piece of wood or a piece of metal, you have some insulating material that in between that for a window.
Be it just air or actually something solid?
Well, air moves, so it's not insulating. You have to have it in pockets for it to be insulating.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, cork, or for a window, it would be cork, or I won't go into a lot of details, but something.
There are options, and
yes,
it does work.
It does. It works beautifully.
We're speaking with Faith Morgan of the Community Solutions Wing of the Arthur Morgan Institute. By the way, the website for more information is communitysolution.org. That's communitysolution.org. You can also check out about the movie at passivehouserevolution.org. And again, that's passivehouserevolution.org. And much of the imagery for this movie, that again, screening tomorrow at 7 at the Glen Helen Building here on Corey Street, much of the footage comes from right here in Yellow Springs.
Right. We have Roy Eastman and his business retrofit on High Street and several of his houses in Thistle Creek. And Jonathan Brown was interviewed and Pat Murphy was interviewed. The Carriage House deep energy retrofit that Pat did. Gina Gunderklein, a local person,
yeah,
is our narrator. And Eric Johnson, who lives here, is a filmmaker. He was our editor. And then, of course, also I should have mentioned Andrew Klein's partner, Alex, who designed the two passive houses, and they designed and built the first passive house in Ohio. It's on Dayton Street.
Oh, well, it makes me hopeful, makes my spirit buoyant that not only are there good ideas, but there are people putting these to use. And there's a film about it tomorrow at 7 o'clock at the Glen Helen Building. And among the people that you'd like to see it, just the average citizenry, but it's also, it's nice to get builders to come and have a look as well.
Oh, absolutely. If they want to talk to us about it and take a look. I was talking to Bruce.
It's all right. But we're talking to a gentleman.
Yes, talking to one of our builders. And sorry, Bruce, that I'm forgetting your last name at this moment. But you did. I had talked to him yesterday because there are lots of straw bale houses built in town.
Yes.
And straw bale can be used to make, you do have to work on the air sealing, but it's one of the insulating, materials that can be used. But he was commenting how he's concerned about keeping houses smaller and the price down, and mentioned that he'd build a very energy efficient house for about $95,000. And I think that is a concern to not, we're concerned that houses in the U.S. are getting bigger and bigger, per cap. The number of people is reducing and the number of houses is going up. And the idea of really building energy efficient houses that are affordable is very, very important, not just to have them be, the 6,000 square foot, with a lot of money put into it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, it's wonderful to be reminded that we are all in this together. This planet is our starship, through the sky. And as goes our climate, we all. So it's not necessarily about any sort of it's just a very human issue at hand here. And it is at hand. It is time to engage, to think, to stop and think about how we as individuals can access a smaller, not necessarily, it's they use the term footprint a lot. Just leave a smaller footprint. When we were young, we all learned to do no trace camping, as you move through the forest to see that no one would know you were even there. And
one of the things about energy that people don't think about, this is our second film, the first one we did about Cuba, as a way, because when the Soviet Union collapsed, they lost 50% of their oil and 80% of their food imports, and they rely on food imports. So it covered everything, but it's sort of a hopeful film. It says something really difficult and very hard can happen, but people can adapt and they can figure out how to to work together and survive. But and people, it's gone to like 30. I think it went to India this week, so it's gone to 38 countries. It's really rather remarkable. But the thing that people don't realize often is that about almost 50% of the energy we use and the CO2 output in this country is from our buildings. And so even though so in a way, it's a hopeful film because, as you say, we can do something, but it's the hard work. Building is not quite so glamorous as gardening, for instance. But we, you know, we need to tackle it. It's just we have millions and millions of homes that need to be retrofitted just to make them sort of livable when there's less of this fossil fuel around.
Seems like a good good candidate for, you know, community investment, that we would all put some of our money in a pool and just go house by house by house and just get this done.
There's one thing that I also want to point out is that some of things like LEED is sort of a prescriptive way of designing your house for
LEED Gold, which is the term that one of the buildings here, right here on the Antioch College campus, is certified.
So LEED certified is very well known, and there are lots of different. You know, LEED Platinum is the highest category, but they don't test afterwards to see if they've met any energy efficiency requirement. So there's no actually energy efficiency requirement to be certified. Whereas with Passive House, you have to have to be a 90% reduction in energy, in primary energy use,
90%.
Which is heating and cooling.
It's astonishing.
And, you know, LEED says it's meeting about a 35%, but often the LEED buildings don't, because to reduce cooling, Passive Houses shade the south windows in the summertime. And you'll see, if anybody wants to go and see how Roy Eastman did this, he put what he calls eyebrows out of the side of his south side of his business, and they're cute. And so right now, there's no sun coming in at all. So he doesn't have to cool the air. There's no air being warmed up inside by the sun.
It's so simple, just a shade.
Yes.
So simple. You can find out about this, maybe even see the eyebrows in the movie, among many other things. It's called Passive House Revolution. It's generated by one of our own from right here, Miss Faith Morgan, and her great work with the Arthur Morgan Institute for Community Solutions. Come to the movie and find out more if you like. That's, again, 7 o'clock tomorrow. That's May 22nd at the Glen Helen, just off of Quarry Street. Come, bring a piece of paper, take some notes if you like, and there'll be more information there. Or go to the website, a couple of ways to do that, communitysolution.org. That's communitysolution.org, or passivehouserevolution.org. Again, passivehouserevolution.org. Congratulations, this on your second movie, your second documentary, and both of them very much with the heart and soul of all of us in mind. I appreciate it, and thank you for that.
Thank you, Nikki.
We'll see you tomorrow at 7 at Glen Helen. I picked a couple of tunes about energy and about all of us being in this together. You can find out more on our website. We'll post this audio up on WISO's Facebook page as well. Faith Morgan, it's been a pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you.